I'm really not sure you need a new prescription. I think you have cataracts. So she sent me to a specialist. So I went to the specialist, and she did her little exam. And when she was done, she said, well, ma'am, it looks like your right eye is doing all the work. And I was just like, whew, thank you, Lord, for a right eye. Amen. That is what I said. I said, thank you, Lord, that you gave me a right eye and a left eye. And then I started thinking about it, and I said, God, you're so good. You gave me a right ear and a left ear. You gave me a right hand and a left hand, a right foot and a left foot, a right leg and a left leg. And I just went through the whole gamut, and I was just like, thank you, Lord, because if one gets weak, the other one might be strong. But I continued to think about it, and I said, well, Lord, why didn't you give me two mouths? Why do I only have one mouth? And God said, I didn't want to give you double for your trouble. Amen. Amen. So that's why, some people talk all day and all night. If we had two, they could talk all day and all through the night, all into the next day. Amen. And those backbiters, they could really go at it then. Amen. Amen. So we thank and praise God that he only gave us one mouth. Amen. Amen. You can stand to your foot. We're going to get to the script. Stand to your feet, and we're going to get to the scripture, because you do have two, right? Amen. Amen. And turn to the book of Deuteronomy. That's towards the front of the Bible there. Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. If you're there, say amen. If you need time, say wait. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 6 and read through verse 8. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to use for, you could be seated, I'm going to use for a message topic, it's time to move. Amen. It's time to move. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Father God. We know that you are a good God. You are a great God. God, I just want to thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit in this place this morning, Lord God. I know that he has accomplished everything that he has set in place to do. And for that, we just say thank you, Lord God. And so now I'm asking that you steady and ready our minds, Lord God, for your word. I'm praying, Father God, that even now you would allow me to decrease, allow your Holy Spirit to increase, that your people may be blessed, Lord God. They did not come to hear me. They came to hear you. So I'm asking that you speak, Lord, that you might be glorified. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's time to move. I think I'll hold on to this. So in the book of Deuteronomy, we have Moses. Moses wrote Deuteronomy. And so in this first passage, he's really just recounting, if you will, the things that have happened to them. And so, if you know anything about marketing, there's a term in marketing called a CTA. And what a CTA is, it's a call to action. That's what CTA stands for, a call to action. And what the marketers do is they use this term to convert passive viewers into active participants. And so we usually see this when they're trying to sell something. You know, you're really not paying attention, but all of a sudden something comes on the screen, and it's an advertisement for something, and all of a sudden you see them say, call now, buy now, do this now. Now is usually in it, right? Because they're trying to get you off that couch to get to your phone or to get to wherever to call them to take advantage of whatever they say they're offering, right? There's an app I like to shop on, and when I shop on this app, it'll usually say, only one left in the stock. And that's the CTA, y'all. Only one left in stock. Because they want you to buy it today, right? But I discovered if I go back next month and look at that same thing, it still say, one left in stock. So either nobody wants it but me, or it's the CTA, right? And so we have to be careful. You know, people are calling us to do all kinds of things. They want us to take action. They want us to do something. They want us to do it right away. But the interesting thing is God, too, wants to call us to action. There are some things that God wants us to do. But he doesn't try to cover it in a scheme, or he doesn't try to do any of that. He just says. He gives commands. He doesn't give suggestions. He doesn't give opinions. He gives commands. And when he gives us a command, his expectation is that what? That we do it. Amen? And so when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, to this first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we have the Israelites, and it appears that they're camped out in the Valley of Moab. So the Valley of Moab is right below the Mount of Hebron, where they received the Ten Commandments. So they have made it through the wilderness. They have received the law. They have the promise. But they're camped out at the Valley of Moab. My question for you is, where are you camped out at? They have a promise. Go take that promised land. They have the law. They know what God expects of them. They're out of the wilderness, but they camped out in the Valley of Moab. Where are we camped out at? What are they waiting for? You know, sometimes we think that we're waiting for God, and really God waiting on us. Probably scratching his head like, why are they camped out there? I gave them the promise. And what's really bad about the situation is the geographical location they were in, they could look across the river, and guess what they saw? The promised land. But they're camped. And so God comes to them, the scripture says, and God says to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. What's your mountain? How long you been there? Why you staying there? Mountain of debt. How long you been there? Mountain of bad relationships. How long you been camped out there? Mountain of a bad career choice. You have stayed long enough at the mountain. And so he came to them. And we all have those moments in life where we get stuck, right? Those moments in time where we're doing good, we're on the journey, we're making it through, and all of a sudden, we just get stuck. We know there's a plan. We have dreams. We have visions. We have things that we know God called us to do. But somewhere along the way, we just happen to get stuck. I don't know why they're stuck here. The commentary said they've been here about a year. So they've been here a long time. And so I don't know if it's the wilderness journey that just warm out. I could see that. A wilderness journey will wear you out, right? When you come out of that thing, you don't want to do nothing. I'm just good. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to stay here because I'm not going through anything else again. Not even going to take the chance. But God never designed his people to camp out. They were always on the move. If you look at Jesus' lifestyle, he was always on the move. He went from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. And so God never really intended us to camp out anywhere. He wants us to be faith walkers. He wants us to walk in faith, right? He doesn't want us to just get stuck and then get complacent and just stay where we're at and not move forward. He wants us to move. When he move, he want us to move. He wants us to be CTA, call to action, active participants. He doesn't want any side-sitting Christians. Christians just sitting on the side. You know, when I was a little girl, I used to sleep on the edge of the bed. And my mom would always tell me, girl, get in the bed. Move in. Because you're going to fall out. But I would never move in. And so then guess what happened? I fall out, right? And that's what some Christians do. We join the church. We come to the church. But we never really become an active participant. We just kind of sit on the edge. But God just says it's a time to move. You stay long enough on the edge. It's time to come into the fold and find your place. It's time to come into the fold and find your calling. It's time to come into the fold and be a blessing to the body of Christ. And so God doesn't want us to sit on the edge any longer. He said it's time to move. Stay long enough at this mountain. And then he tells them, he commands them, break camp. I love that. Break camp. Why? What does break camp mean? Well, time to pack up your stuff, right? Pack up your stuff. Pack up your children. Pack up your tents. Pack up your cattle. Pack up your stuff. And what does he say? And advance. Pack up your stuff and advance. Do you know how many people are fearful of advancing? They are just comfortable where they are. Let somebody else be in charge. Let somebody else be the leader. Let somebody else do it. They feel like they are not significant. They feel like they are not worthy. They feel like they don't have what other people have. And so they just sit where they're at, and they will not advance. But God came to his people, and he said, break camp and advance. Advance into the hill country where your enemy is. That's where he told them to advance to. Advance to the hill country where your enemy is. How many of us would go? God came to you and said, break camp. You've been here long enough. Get moving. Go up to that hill country where your enemies are. Ain't nobody going real quick. Amen. Amen. Y'all kind of quiet, but I know you ain't going to go. Amen. And God knows you're not going to go. But, okay, you're soaking it in. Amen. Amen. Break camp and advance into the hill country. And he said in the hill country, he said they're going to be the Amorites, neighboring people in the mountains, in the foothills, along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, the land that the spies were terrified of, the land that had all the giants in it, the land that they were petrified of. He said, advance into that land. See, God never lets go of his promise. He made a promise to Abraham that they were going to take this land. He made a promise to them that it was theirs. He made a promise to them when they were scared. He told them to go on anyway, but they didn't do it. And so they ended up in the wilderness. They ended up in this place that they didn't want to be, just wandering around in circles, crying and complaining and grumbling, all because they were afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of advancing to? What is it that you need to break camp and move forward with? God is with you. He promised he would be with us. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, nothing can separate us from his love. He said, I'll be with you wherever you go. But we won't move. Stuck at the mountain. In the valley, camped out. Now, I read somewhere that they were in the valley. What they were doing was rehashing the law, which God had given them. That's good. And they were meeting, trying to organize on what they was going to do next. When I saw that, I scratched my head and I said, ain't nothing changed in thousands of years. Because that's what we do. We do it at work. We do it at home. We do it at the church. We have meetings, but ain't nothing ever happened. We meet to talk about what we're going to do. And we come back the next week to meet to talk about what we're going to do. And we meet the next week to talk about what we're going to do. But in the end, we end up doing nothing. There was a poll that says most organizations have at least 25 meetings a week. That means you are attending at least 5 meetings a day. But the sad part is, as much as we meet, there's usually no action. The action is the meeting. Amen? Our meetings are our actions. But God is saying this morning, it's time to move. I've given you the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that has blessings waiting for you, a land that's going to give you numerous inhabitants. I want to send you into the promised land. But look what he said. He says in verse 8, he says, see, I have given you the land. But then he says, go in and take possession of the land. Well, doesn't that sound like double talk? You've given it to me, but you want me to go in and take possession. It reminds me of people who call. I don't know if they call you. They call me from time to time and tell me I won something, but I need to call somebody. And I'm thinking, if I want it, just send it to me. Why I got to call somebody? Either I won it or I didn't win it. But I don't want to call somebody to have to get it. Well, this is kind of how this command is. He said, I've given you the land, but now I need you to go in and take possession. So what does that mean? How do we figure that out? Well, the promises of God are always true. He promised them the land. But see, God doesn't think like we think. Even though he promised them the land, he still expects us to fight the fight. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to fight the fight. It reminds me of a generation of children who thinks things should just be given to them. I don't have to work for nothing. Just give it to me. Why won't you just give it to me? Give me, give me, give me. That's the kind of God that some people serve, that give me God. Just give me the land. Just give it to me. Why I got to go do something? What I got to go fight? There's giants over there. Why don't you just give it? You God, just give it to me. But God said, I did give it to you, but you're going to have to go in and get it. How many things do we do not have? Because we won't go get it. We wait for God to give it to us. He said, I've already given it to you. Now you got to go get it. Praying for a new car, but never go to the car lot. Looking for a new house, but never call a realtor. I've already given it to you. What you want me to do, drop it in front of you? But that's not the kind of God we serve. God always has accountability for us. There's always something that he wants us to do. He wants to see our faith. Say faith. He wants to see our faith. Yes, I have given you the promise. Yes, that land is yours. But I want to see the faith that is going to go in and possess it. I want to see the faith that is going to go in and take it. I want to see the faith that believes those enemies cannot consume you. I want to see the faith that you believe and trust that I can do all things but fail. I want to see that faith that says I love you and that I know you love me, that you are not going to let me fail. You are not going to let me falter. You are not going to let me fall by the wayside. You are going to go with me all the way. God wants to see our faith in him. We got the land, but now we got to go take it. You know, sometimes we sing songs in the church like, we are soldiers in the army. We have to what? Sing it one more time.
We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die.
I love that song. Are there soldiers in the army? Do we have a room full of soldiers waiting to fight? Are you ready for the warfare? Don't you know when you believed in Jesus Christ, you entered a war? Don't you know that you are now on God's side fighting the enemy? Don't you know that the enemy is expecting you to fight as a believer? He wants you to fight. You know, people say that the enemy always comes at our point of weakness, but he comes at our point of strength. That place where he knows you're strong. If you're strong in prayer, he's coming. try to keep you off your knees. If you're strong in reading his Bible, he's going to try to blind your eyes. If you're strong in evangelism, he's going to try to shut down your car. Wherever you are strong at, he is going to come in and he's going to try to shut it down. And God wants us to do what? He wants us to fight. He wants us to fight. We have got to raise up and be warriors. We have to take our Sunday clothes off and put on our camouflage. We need to go to war in the name of Jesus. We need to be ready to go and ready to fight. Because the enemy is not going to let up. He is not going to light up. He's just going to keep coming, and he's going to come hard and fierce. Look at all the things that are going on in the world today. Look at all the things that are happening. Things we had never seen before. And some things we have seen before have trickled their way back in. God is looking for warriors.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
God don't care about cute. He care about faith.
Thank you, Lord.
And he care about fighting.
Yes.
Even Jesus was in a war. A war with the enemy. All the way to the cross, he was in a war. But he won the war. He got the victory. He didn't say camped out at the bottom of the cross saying, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. No, he said, go ahead. I'm going to lay down my life. So that they can live. I'm going to lay down my life so that they can get the victory. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. It says that we are overcomers. It says that we already have the victory. And we need to start acting like what God says we are. I don't care what you are believing. You have to act like a warrior. Act like a soldier. Get up and march around. Tell God you're with him. You are in the army of the Lord. You are going to go in and take the land. I'm tired of people doing things for me that I know that God has called me to do myself. I had a friend, he said, I'm tired of helping other people achieve their dream. God has given me a dream. He's a gifted musician. Plays all over the place. But he has visions. But he's so busy doing what other people want him to do that his vision never comes to pass. We need to be sensitive to what the Spirit is telling us. God has an agenda. He never forgot about the promised land, although the people seem to have forgotten. He hasn't forgotten about the promises he has promised you. He hasn't forgotten about the plan he has given you. He knows you have put it on the shelf. You have stuffed it in the drawer. But Habakkuk says this, write the vision and make it plain so that somebody can pick it up and run with it. I don't know what vision God has given you, but he needs the church to come and get on fire. Whatever vision he has given you, he wants you to go home and write it down. He wants you to go home and make it plain so that you can pick it up on next day or the next week or the next year, that you can pick it up and you can run with it.
Yes.
He needs people to come into the kingdom because time is winding down.
Yes.
And he wants all men to be what? Saved. So we can't continue to be camped out in the valley. We need to break camp. We need to advance. And we need to go in and fight. There's three scriptures I want to bring to your attention. And the first one is out of Hebrews chapter 12. And it just says that we have to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Why? So we can run the race. We can't run the race bogged down by sin. I preached a message this morning talking about sin and how we have to cast that away. How we have to go before God and confess our sins so that God can free us in our spirit so that we can do the work he has called us to do. And so we have to lay aside the weight. There's so many weight that we carry around. Weight that's from our childhood. We still carrying that weight. And sometimes we carry other people's weight. It ain't even our weight. But we just pick it up. It's somebody else's weight. And we carry it around as if it's ours, as if we can fix it. But Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so we need to lay aside the weight and the sins that so easily besets us. And then in Philippians, he said, we have to forget those things that are behind so we can press on to what? The high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. How much stuff are you willing to forget about? Oh, you know that old saying, I'm willing to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. The scripture said, forget about it. We have a kingdom to build. Forgive, forget, move on, break camp, advance into the kingdom. There is work to be done, and you cannot carry your baggage from way back when. We need to allow God to take care of our enemies. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. How many people think God will really take care of their enemies? You should grow in the place of your Christian life where whether he does or whether he doesn't, it really doesn't matter, because I'm going to live for God. For God I live and for God I die. So whenever he wants to take care of it, if it's at the judgment, so be it. But I'm not going to worry about them no more. They're not going to take up space in my brain anymore. I'm going to keep moving forward and doing what God would have me to do. And then Ephesians says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop fighting people. They're not the problem. It is the spirits that they carry that is the problem. It is not them. It's their spirit. And he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hope of wickedness in heavenly places. There's things all around us, even right now, that we cannot see. You all believe in a supernatural realm? Amen. We have to, if we are going to be warriors, we have to believe in the supernatural realm. There are things going on around us. God is using people, but so is Satan. He uses people just like God uses people. And we need to be able to tell the difference. Because sometimes we're going at people as if it's them, and it's really just the enemy. And he's clapping his hands because we don't have discernment in the church. And so he's clapping and knows because he got us again. And so we have to get sharper. We have to get sharper with our discernment and know who we're fighting. And then it says we need to stand therefore, having girded our waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you ready to share the gospel? Wherever God may send you. You got your boots on, ready to tell somebody that Jesus Christ still lives, that he rose from the grave, that he can forgive us for our sins, and he can fill us with the Holy Ghost and power. Are you ready to tell them the whole Jesus story? Or do you just want to tell them that he hung on the cross and died without telling them that he rose from the grave? The power is in the resurrection. You got to tell the whole Jesus story. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Where's your faith? I heard this quote. It says, faith is the refusal to panic. What are you panicking about? What are you anxious about? There is no faith in that. If it gets me into a whirlwind, if it gets me into a tizzy, if it gets me to be anxious, if it gets me to be scared, it is not a faith. It is of the evil one. He just wants you to be fearful so you will not advance into the kingdom of God. He wants you to be fearful so you will not be able to claim the promise. And we need to know that it is the enemy, God. We have an enemy, and his name is Satan. He is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. He will tell you a lie in a minute and want you to believe it. But we have to know the truth, because the truth will what? It will set us free. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall prey to the evil one. God, give me discernment. Let me know what I'm up against. Let me know when I'm working with the devil. Tell me, Lord, so I can do what I need to do. Or I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will get behind me in the name of Jesus. He has given me his authority to tell you to sit down in the name of Jesus. And so we have to be sharper. We have to be wiser. We have to be more discerning. We have to be ready. We have to be equipped. We have to be prepared to fight the fight of the enemy. God wants the church to succeed. He always has. He always will. But we have got to do our part. We need to get busy, and we need to get busy quick. And I'm not talking about calling any what? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting busy, making a plan, and working the plan. Making a plan and working the plan. God needs us. He is depending on us. He is counting on us to build his kingdom. And it's so easy to get caught up in church. But God has a kingdom he's trying to build. He doesn't want to advance us to the church or advance us in the church. He wants to advance us in the kingdom. And so we have to get our priorities straight. And we need to know what is required of us. And once we know what is required of us, we need to do it. We already have the law. He's brought us out of the wilderness because we have freedom to worship, and some people don't. And he has given us a promise. And he's just waiting for us to move. I just want to encourage you today to move forward in whatever God is calling you to do. And everybody's calling is different. What he has called me to do, he has not called you to do. And that's good. We want to be copycat Christians. Don't try to be like me. I'm full of flaws. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. Have to get on my knees just like you have to get on your knees. You have to be what God called you to be. Be who he, and you will succeed if you just be who what he called you to be. But when we try to be what he called other people to be, we're going to fail every time. Everybody has a gift in the church. God wants you to use your gift. Whatever your gift is, you might think it's small. It's not like other people's. Praise the Lord, it's not like other people's. That's exactly what God is looking for. Wants to use you. And so I hope I didn't fuss this morning. My daughter told me I'm loud and I'm big, and I just fuss. The words of a 12-year-old child. But it was okay. I could handle it because I am loud and big, and sometimes I do fuss. But God loves you. I love you. And I just want to encourage you not to do like these Israelites. They're in the valley, and they could see the promised land. Didn't move an inch until God came and told them, you've been at this mountain way too long. God bless you. We're going to open up the doors of the church, if you will. If you just stand. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."